Good evening. Welcome to the study of the book of James. Welcome to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the live stream of Calvary Pandan BP Church. Before we begin tonight's study, let us look to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for seeing us through another day, another week. Help us, Lord, not to take every day that You have given to us for granted, but help us to be a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ wherever possible, at home, at work, in school. And as we see the opening of our society back to normalcy, entering into phase two, we pray, Father, for Thy mercies and Thy grace to abound. For we know that man may try his utmost to keep this pandemic at bay, but ultimately, it is Thee and Thee alone who are able to keep us safe. We pray, O Lord, that You will be gracious and merciful to be with the leaders of this country and grant to them the wisdom they need to open this country back so that we can gather once again for worship. But this is our heart's cry and our heart's desire, and how we long to assemble as Thy blood-bought children to provoke one another unto love and to good works, which we are not able to do, for we acknowledge that we have taken this for granted for so long. Now You have taken it away from us for the past 2+ months, and we have learned our lesson. And we pray, O Lord, that You will be gracious and merciful to help us resume our gathering together for worship, also for prayer, for the study of Thy holy word, and for Christian fellowship. We pray, Father, that You will be gracious to keep all of us safe from this virus, especially those of Your children who are in the front line. Help them, O Lord, to pray without ceasing, and with the fear of God in their hearts, may they not sin against Thee, and may their witness for the Lord Jesus Christ point many to the Savior. Be with us tonight, Lord, as we continue to study the book of James. We pray, Father, for Thy Holy Spirit to be our teacher once again tonight. Cleanse us and wash us of all our sins by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we commit tonight's study unto Your loving care. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Tonight, we shall continue our study in the book of James, chapter 3. We have finished verses 1 and 2. Last week, the title of the study was The Perfect Christian Defined. Anyone who can control his tongue, the Bible said, the same is a perfect man. Tonight, we continue to focus on the tongue, and the topic is the tongue defiles the whole body. Know your tongue. Our body is made up of many parts. Whenever someone designs something, that final product is a combination of many parts. Some have fewer, some have more. Some are less complicated, some are more complicated. For example, take our refrigerator, take our air-conditioned system. They're all made of many parts. And you combine all these parts together, you have a very efficient equipment. And the people who service it, the people who fix it, they know how these instrument works and how every part plays an important function in order for these machines to work to its optimum. For us as a human being, the Lord knows that we serve and witness on earth a domain where the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who have rejected Christ. That means we enter into enemy's territory. And the devil knows, and the devil will not allow us to serve God Almighty in an environment that will be conducive for holy witness and service. He will try his best to rob us of our holy witness and testimony. And he will do so through the many different parts of our bodies. Our hands and our feet, our entire being. depends on this world, this earth, for survival. Our touch, our taste, what we see, how we feel. And so out of all the many different parts of the body, that the devil will try his best to seduce us with, to tempt us with, to cause us to fall into sin, ruining our holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when we share the gospel, it will be without power, because it is no longer backed up by a life of holiness. And of all these parts, the Lord says, guard the tongue. Because this tongue, this tiny little part of our body that doesn't seem to get tired, we don't send our tongue to the gym to be trained and to be strengthened, unlike our biceps and our triceps and our thigh and all the other muscles that we use to carry this body of ours from point A to point B. This tongue doesn't seem to need any special exercise for it to be used continually, nonstop, from the moment we wake up to the moment we lie down to sleep. It doesn't seem to get tired. The other muscles need to be strengthened, because if you don't strengthen it, it gets tired easily. And as you grow older and older, the muscles will shrink. But apparently this tongue of ours doesn't seem to shrink as we age. This tongue is very critical and very important out of every part of the body to the believer's witness. And so the Lord has spent this chapter highlighting on the importance of controlling our tongue. He already mentioned the importance of our tongue in the earlier chapters. But this time in chapter 3, he will devote many verses to deal with this very important part of our body. Know your tongue. Because if this tongue of ours is not kept in check, our entire body will be defiled. Our entire body will not be defiled by the hands, by our feet, by our legs, by our eyes, but the tongue. How does it defile the whole body? What does it mean? Because let's look at these four verses tonight. Let me read to you these four verses. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. That's where we get the title, It Defiles the Whole Body. It's taken from verse 6. It defiles the whole body. How does it defile the whole body? Our entire witness and our entire life could be destroyed, could be wrecked because of our words, because of what we say. You know how many people have been taken to court and sued and lost thousands of dollars, and some even millions of dollars, depending on who is the one that you have slandered. Wars have been fought because of a loose tongue. Relationships, innumerable relationships, have been ruined throughout the ages because of a callous word here and a callous word there. Husbands, wives, relationships destroyed because of a callous tongue, either by husband or wife. Best friends for decades could turn into worst enemies because of the callous tongue. We have seen this We have read about this, and tragically, some of us might even have experienced it. The tongue. We need to understand our tongue, to know it well. And once we know it well, with God's help, let us control it. Because we can, as God's children, we can, with God's help, control this tongue. And when we control this tongue of ours, we can control our entire body. How do we know we can? The word bridle in the last part of verse 2, where the Bible says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle. The word bridle is the same root word as the word bits in verse 3. Putting the bits in the horse's mouth. The little rein that they put into the mouth of the horse with the rider on top. And then with the bit and the reins, you want the horse to go right, you pull right. You want the horse to go left, you pull left. And the horse is like one gigantic muscle. You look at a horse, the structure of a racehorse. It's all muscle from head to toe or head to hoof. And this powerful animal, which in the days of James, they all consider as one of the most important and most powerful weapons of war, the horse. And it is controlled by the rider by this tiny little bit that you put into the horse's mouth. And so what we see from verse 3 and verse 4, which you have two illustrations, they tell us that the tongue is a tool of control. Just like the bit in a horse's mouth, and just like what you find in verse 4, the very small helm in a huge or large ship. The tool of control. Know that your tongue is a tool of control. It controls your life. It controls your witness. It controls everything about you. Know this. Know this well. And don't forget this. It's a tool of control. Not your hands. Not your legs. Not any other part. But your tongue. And it doesn't get tired. And so before you utter a certain thing, think, pray very, very judiciously and carefully before you say it. What kind of control? Well, first, illustration verse 3 controls the entire body. All right, it controls the entire body, just like your life and my life. It controls our entire being, the direction in which our holy witness for Christ. The whole life is controlled by our tongue. The moment you say it, it's going to seal your fate, your whole life, your whole being. Remember what happened to the 603,000 plus Israelites, 20 years and above, when they were asked the last and final question by Caleb and Joshua, who convinced them, please do not listen to the 10 faithless spies. Listen to us. God will help us defeat and conquer the Canaanites. Do not allow what they say concerning the size of the Anakims, who were giants, and they were. They are high walled up mountains on many hills. God is able to bring all of them down. Trust us, believe in what we tell you to do, and do not and stop saying that we cannot. Say that we can. Right now. The moment they open their mouth and say, no, we cannot go in. And that was it. Those few words of rejection reveal their faithlessness. If they had kept their mouth shut, their faithlessness and whatever they were within their soul would still remain hidden. But the moment those words came out of their mouth, it sealed that they are fate, literally. The Lord intervened immediately and the judgment came. For every day, which was 40 days that you spend to survey the land, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until each and every one of you, all of you, perish in the wilderness. And all of them died. Literally, all of them died. Right there and then, they are going to spend the next 38 and a half years, since they have really traveled a year and a half to arrive at this place called Kadesh Barnea, where they sent out their 12 spies. That was it. Those words that came out of their mouth controlled their entire life. They could have entered the promised land, but they did not, because those words controlled their entire life. The whole body, just like this little bit, controlled the entire life of the horse. Literally. And then the second illustration of a ship. It controls the direction in which the ship ought to travel, ought to go, because the governor is the one who controls it. Whithersoever the governor listeth. That's what it means. Not only does it control your entire life, it controls the direction in which your life ought to go. You make your decision. Now, of course, this tongue is not to be limited to only audible words. It includes written words, the contracts you sign, the contracts you do not sign, the contracts you accept, and the contracts you do not accept. All these things will determine the direction of your life. You marry the wrong person. You say, "I do," to someone whom you know is not God's will for you. You notice that your whole life has really been changed forever. And if your marriage does not work out and you end up divorced, you're no longer called a single person. Oh, you are single still. But when you fill up the form under marital status, you cannot put down the single any longer. Even though you are now single, you have to put down the divorcee. By uttering the two words, "I do," at your marriage, your life has headed in a direction called married life. And whatever it is, no matter what you do from henceforth, you will remain in that direction until you breathe the last breath. Total control. Our tongue, our words. As long as you keep your mouth closed, your words are not heard, it is private. As long as you do not let it out, you do not put it onto your Facebook account, your Twitter account, or whatever account you have, you are still within your control, your life. You have not made a decision. You have not uttered or written anything. And therefore, your direction has not been set. The moment you let your words come out, it determines your direction. And how many of us have made it directions like this? I remember when I knocked on the door of my boss's office to tell him, the Lord had called me to full-time ministry to study God's word in the Bible college. I'm afraid I have to give you 1 year advance notice, if it is acceptable to you, where I will finish my assignment to complete this project that you have brought me in to design in Indonesia. And I will be quitting architecture for good. Once those words came out, the direction of my life was sealed. It's fixed. Your life and my life, when you look back, it had been headed in this direction or that direction, especially crossroads of our lives, based upon what we say and based upon what we do. That's how significant our tongue is. A tool of control. Remember this. Of all the parts of our body, the tongue is called the tool, T-O-O-L, the tool of control. as illustrated by verse 3 and verse 4. It controls your whole body, just like the bit controlling the whole horse. And it controls the direction in which this whole body would head, would do, would go, would travel. Just like the little helm in a ship, whithersoever the governor, the captain, listeth, desireth. North, south, east, west, northwest, northeast, southeast, southwest, whichever direction. The governor controls. You are the governor. And God says, would you go in the direction that I want you to go? Would you control your whole life the manner in which I will want you to control it according to scriptures? This tongue that doesn't get tired is a very, very important tool of our lives. It's the tool of control. Right now, how is your situation at home, between husbands and wives, siblings, friends, colleagues? Whatever it is, whatever the state and condition, you have to admit that we have to attribute it to the tongue. Not your hands, not your legs, the tongue. Isn't that true? If the relationship is sweet, it's peaceful, is it not because of your care? One moment of foolish speech could ruin a relationship that had been built upon for many, many decades. I remember the sharing of a couple who had just been married for a year. And in the heat of the husband's and wife's quarrel, they were quarreling. They just had their first child. The child was on the sofa. And in the heat of the quarrel, the wife said these words, "I regretted marrying you." When those words came out, the husband was so angry that he swiped with his hands everything that was on the coffee table, nearly hitting the baby with one of the items. Thank God it did not. You think he would ever, ever forget those words? "I regretted marrying you." You think he would ever forget? "I regret marrying you." She said those words. And I'm sure in the ensuing quarrel, future quarrels, whatever it is, those words will surface. First year of marriage. How do you take those words back? How do you erase those words that have been etched into the memory of the husband? You think he will ever forget 10, 20 years down the road if they are still married? You think he'll ever forget? There will be a lot of ups and downs in marriage. I'm sure there will be many more quarrels in the future. And when they are quarreling, this memory will return very quickly. And how to erase it? Maybe a repeated sincere apology. Perhaps that may help. But it is something that it is so difficult to erase. Is it not true? Words that wound us in our soul. Sometimes time may not even heal that kind of wound. And like any wound that we experience outside of our bodies, I get cut in my hand, in my leg, in my thigh. It will heal. I may still see the scar, but the pain is gone. But the words that are now etched into the memory, those words that have been spoken 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago, can still be recalled. And every time you recall it, it's like a fresh wound all over again. Even though it may not come out of the other person's mouth anymore, but the fact that you recall it in your memory, it is like a fresh wound all over again. Isn't that true? That is why it is so important for us to bear in mind that the tongue is a tool of control. Control what? Our whole body, our whole life, and the direction in which this life of ours ought to go. Second aspect of this tool, you find in verse 5. Know the tongue. It is not only a tool of control, and that's why it has the potency to defile the whole body, but it is also called, in verse 5, a tool of pride. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. You can't boast great things with your hands, even though the hands are the ones that may have done the deeds, the great deeds, the many great deeds. The hands is not the one that is boasting. The hand is not the one that is going to be the culprit, but the tongue is. That's why it is a tool of pride, because that's what boasting is. It allows your arrogance and your pride and your high-mindedness to be exposed, to be revealed, your tongue. Not your legs, but your tongue. You sit together at the table, lunchtime, with all your colleagues. The boasting is not done with your legs, with your hands, with your heart, with your lungs, with your brain, with your heart. It's by your tongue. The things that come out of your mouth, your accomplishments, all the things that you have done, you write it down, you put it on your Facebook, what food you have eaten, what kind of restaurant you entered into, all the good and glorious and amazing stuff that you have done, you put them up. The tongue, the tool of pride. And once you put it out, once you say it, it's so hard for us to apologize. Is it not true? How great a matter a little fire kindleth. So hard to apologize. Once it comes out of our mouth, it's so hard to apologize. Pride stands in the way because you said it. I must hold on to it and I cannot back down. Because I said it, I must keep it. I must keep my word. No matter what, rightly or wrongly, I don't care. My pride will stand in the way. And no matter how painful and how hurtful it might be, it doesn't matter. You will not budge. Some of you may remember this testimony of mine. When I was a young boy, every Chinese New Year, my dad, my uncle, all of us who lived in Seremban, would drive all the way from Seremban to Singapore. The time Singapore was part of Malaya. And that's what we did. And there was no north-south highway. We have to drive through all those small little towns. And we'll stop about at least twice throughout the entire journey, which would last about 6 to 7 hours at least. And so I remember on one occasion when I was with my mom and my dad, my brothers and sisters, they were in another car with my uncle. And so I sat in the middle. I sat at the back seat, but in the middle. My sister, my brother were to my right and left. And I was seated at the edge. I was seated upright, like this, not leaning back. And I was observing the traffic and observing all the little township and didn't want to sit back. And then my mom said, "Why don't you sit back and rest?" I said, "I don't want." Then my mom said it again. I said it again, "I don't want." And she said it a few more times, and I said it a few more times, "I don't want." And then she kept quiet. And then that was it. So I sat like that for the entire journey. 6+ hours, other than the breaks. When I came back from the break, I would sit back upright. And my back was hurting. And it was so painful. But because I said so, I cannot lean back means I cannot lean back because I told my mom I don't want. And so I sat like that all the way. We boast. We say certain things. Our pride stands in the way. And then we will not budge. We boast about our accomplishments. Those who have studied well, who get good grades. Parents of children who get good grades, they will brag, they will boast, and they will tell everyone who will listen. And they will try their best to leak it out one way or another. Let it be slipped out in a very, in inverted commas, innocent conversation. They would like to tell, my children did so well in this, my children did so well in that. And because our children did well in their studies, it may reflect back on us that we are also good parents. And we have relatives who are in a position of influence, relatives who are cabinet ministers. We will try to leak it out to say that, you know, so-and-so is my uncle, so-and-so is my cousin, so-and-so is this, so-and-so is that. Somehow as if they are aura of fame and wealth, somehow because of this link or connection to you, you may also get a little residual impact of their aura. And maybe that's the reason why you boast of your relationship. Now, if they fall from their height of grace and glory, and then suddenly, oh, we are not related. Suddenly, you just keep very silent and quiet, and you don't want anyone to know that you are even remotely related to this person. Isn't that the way we are? That's why it is called a tool of pride. And be very careful how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and how James used this to illustrate. It may begin with a little spark, but then it will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow, and it can even burn down an entire forest. That little spark. And it begins with just a few words. A few words here and a few words there. A tool of pride. Be very mindful and careful. Words that we say as children, the damage may be little, my painful back. I told some of you before, when I was in Singapore studying in St. Patrick's School. Can't remember. I think, yeah, it was my secondary school. I was in Sec 3. About a few weeks, maybe 4 to 5 weeks into Singapore after we came out of Seremban. My mom would drive us to school. I remember it was a Saturday, I think. And my mom said she had to run an errand and she cannot pick me up until maybe 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock or something to that effect. But we finished school about 10 a.m. or I think 10 a.m. And so I said to her before she drove off, after she dropped me off, I said, if you do not come at 10, I'm going to walk home. At the time, I stayed in my grandma's place, Bukit Timah, 5th Avenue. St. Patrick's School is somewhere in East Coast. And so when I came out at 10 a.m., I look around. My mom's car was not there. So I started walking. So in my mind, I calculated, maybe it would take me about a couple of hours. So by 12 o'clock, I think I would arrive home. So I started walking. I was still pretty new to Singapore at the time, because I didn't even know how to take bus. My mom would drive us from point A to point B. I've never taken bus before in my whole life. And so I started walking and walking and walking, and to cut the story short, I arrived home nearly 7 p.m., not 12. And my mom nearly called the police because she thought that I was lost. At the time, no handphone, of course. And they were so happy to see me when I got home that nobody scolded me. But because I said, I'm going to walk home by 10, at 10 a.m. if you do not come. And so I must keep my word, right? So the stress and strain of that long walk without lunch, the hunger, the tiredness, the painful feet, that was the result. But as you grow older and older, you realize that the tool of pride, the impact and the consequences would no longer be just simply some sore feet and some painful back. There will be consequences that will be far, far more grievous and far worse. The tool of pride. We have to be very mindful that our tongue, first and foremost, is a tool of control. And then, if it is not properly controlled, and there will be times when we are going to make mistakes, there are times, no matter how hard we try to control it, there will be moments when we are going to let it slip. Remember, it is also a tool of pride. And when that happens, be humble. Be prepared. Don't let that little spark, that little careless word, turn into a fiery, flaming forest where it can ruin your relationship, your marriage, and your family. Apologize. Remember the humility of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that as a child of God, you have been endowed by God's grace and mercy with the mind of Christ to be humble. Do it for Jesus' sake. Do it for the sake of the witness of Jesus Christ in your life. Swallow that pride. Don't let it stand in the way as an obstacle, as an unmovable wall. And it will ruin your witness for Christ in that person's life just because you do not apologize for some careless word. Don't insist that he or she must apologize first. For the sake of Christ, do it. If God were to wait for us to say sorry to him first before he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, we are done for. Because the Bible says, no man will seek after God, no, not one. So don't wait. God did not wait for us to say sorry to him before he sent Christ, did he? He did not. So please do not use that as an excuse or as a justification for not saving that witness for Jesus' sake, for not healing that relationship for Jesus' sake. The tongue is a tool of pride that you must overcome. The tongue of control. You must control the tongue, and you will control the direction of your life entirely. And finally, it is also a tool of destruction. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, a world of iniquity, a world of sin. This tongue of ours is a world of sin. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the entire body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. How many people have ended up in hell because of our callous tongue and their own callous tongues? Tool of destruction, the tongue. The tongue has ruined and destroyed more lives than our hands and our feet. Our tongue, our words. Two best friends could become worse enemies because you whisper certain untruth about them. And they listen to you because they thought you were their friend. And because they listen to you, that relationship is now destroyed. And it might healed, but it will never be the same again because of your tongue. Do you remember how real this illustration is, a world of iniquity, and how it can defile your whole body? Do you remember a lady by the name of Amy Cheong, A-M-Y-C-H-E-O-N-G, in the year 2013? She was an assistant director of NTUC. For whatever reason, she went on to her own Facebook and made certain nasty remarks about people who hold weddings in void decks. These kind of disparaging remarks that she made out of the blue, for whatever reason, whatever excuses. And the next thing, it became viral throughout the whole internet. And the next morning, according to the newspaper, she went to work, she was dismissed. Assistant director of NTUC. Those words could not be taken back. The consequences, she lost the job. She went back to Perth. That's where her new home is. Do you remember this man called Anton Casey, a British banker? Likewise, put on Facebook. She sneered at poor people, put up some form of a cartoon, a picture of his son seated in a train, and then there were some words stenciled on it. And it said, "The stench of public transport," looking down on those people who take public transport, mocking them, sneering them. Again, likewise, it went viral, and he lost his job too. And no matter how he apologized, the consequences were life-changing. And he said, "This was the worst mistake of my life." "12 years in Singapore. Rose to a banker position, and everything fell apart because of some careless words that were placed on the internet, the Facebook." We live in an age and time where these wisdom, this counsel, this warning from God is far more critical than at any time in the history of mankind because of the internet. You think back into those days when such technology was non-existent. Whatever you say, it's only going to be within that four walls. Unless someone said over the telephone. And even if it's through the telephone, it is still one person to the next telephone and so on. But nowadays, the environment has completely transformed to the point where each and every one of us have the world literally at our doorstep. And what you put out onto the internet, and this is just two examples, Amy Cheong and this man called Anton Casey. There's so many more out there who have already experienced the consequences of careless words, where this tongue is a terrible tool of destruction because their own lives have felt the power of this destruction. And they are still facing it, experiencing it. And all those years of building up your career or your life just came crumbling down because of one moment of careless writing, careless speaking. And there's nothing you can do. No matter how you try to apologize, the damage is irreversible. And the consequences, life-changing. All the more now, we as God's children with God's help, with the Spirit of God dwelling in us, out of every single human being on earth, children of God have the best ability and help from God Himself to control our tongue. And to do so tonight, remember that it is a tool of control, a tool of pride, and it is a tool of destruction. Remember this. It destroys your life, your family's life, and the lives of others whenever we are careless. Whatever you put out, think, ponder before you put them out. Now, we know on WhatsApp, many of us have this WhatsApp chat group. And we like to put things inside. Do you think very carefully? Do you pray very carefully? Do you check very carefully against Scripture? Whether it is worthy, biblical, Christ-honoring, before you put them out. It may be a small group, but don't forget, it can easily go viral if we are careless. And even if it's a small group, dare we say that these lives and minds and heart of these few people that we call our friends who belong to the same chat group, they are not consequential? Faithful in the least, faithful in the much. Whether even if it is one person, we should be very careful how we send our message. Sometimes, with all this technology, we're too quick with our fingers. We type out messages, and the moment we finish, we send it off because of haste, because of so many other things to do, and we stop thinking, not realizing how destructive our words can be. Every friend must be important to us. Everyone is a brother and a sister in Christ. His relationship with you in Christ must be regarded as priceless, and you must be prepared to do whatever it takes to protect it. And if you have to swallow your pride because of some careless words, swallow it and apologize. And minimize the destruction. And try your best not to let your tongue get out of control. Know your tongue. It can defile your whole body because it is a tool of pride, a tool of control, and a tool of destruction. And it doesn't get tired. Control it. Speak less. Listen more. And by the grace and the mercies of God, our holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ will truly be kept under control. Because we, by God's enabling, have been able to control our tongue. May God help us tonight and from henceforth to control this little tongue of ours. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee that with the help of Thy Holy Spirit and with the Word of God and with the mind of Christ and the love of Christ constraining us, we have the strength from the Most High God as Thy blood-bought children to control our tongue. Help us not to make any excuses, but help us to be very mindful and prayerful and very careful in what we say and what we write by way of all the instruments that You have given to us in this 21st century. For all those of Your children who have Facebook account, Twitter account, and whatever Instagram account, whatever they are, O Lord, may Thou be merciful to grant us the wisdom that we need to ponder, to pray very, very carefully before anything is put up onto the internet. And whatever we say, help us, O Lord, to be mindful and careful. It is a tool of great control, of pride, and of destruction. May we control our tongue well, for this is our heart's cry and our heart's desire. so that we can be a holy witness for our Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. And if we have hurt anyone because of what we have said or written, help us by thy grace to be humble enough to apologize and to make right the wrong that we have done in order to restore our relationship and the holy witness of Christ in our lives in the eyes of that person whom we have stumbled. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Good night and God bless.